Would you like to open your Bibles, please, to the book of Mark in chapter 5? And Brian, in his introduction this morning to us all, to the meeting, and yes, we're gathered together because we need to have fellowship together, don't we? We need to hear the word of God preached. We want to be edified. We want to be uplifted. I mean, we live our busy lives in this world doing whatever we're doing. We might be feeding the sheep like Brian or doing something else like Andy. Or whatever we might be doing. We're just involved in this natural life, but we need time to wash ourselves and we need to spend time at home praying in the Spirit, of course. We need time to hear the word preached. We've had, you know, we haven't got people coming out of the woodwork up at home in Perth to the meetings, but we've had a number of people visit our meetings, and some over the last few months have been baptized and received the Holy Spirit, and three of these people, they keep on coming back to the meetings, which is great. An older lady, well, when I say an older lady, she's probably younger than me, but she's older than the young man that also recently come to the Lord. He's come to the Lord out of a life of drugs and drink and disruption, and his children are sadly taken away from him, and he's separate from the mother and so on. It's all really quite sad, but he's been coming to the meetings, and I think that he's taken a liking to me, surprising him as it may seem, and I always get a hug when I see him, but you know, he's just, rather than just talking about the events of his life, he's actually starting to talk about the Lord and to say, well, since I received the Holy Spirit a few weeks ago now, and things are coming together. One step at a time. Now, you're in the book of Mark in chapter 5. Good, thank you. And the theme of my talk is noble and faithful women. Noble and faithful women. And how does that relate to us? Well, it does relate to us very much. And incidentally, I saw on the news yesterday that today there will be a number of demonstrations in some of the capital cities around Australia. People demonstrating, and I believe the Prime Minister, Mr. Albanese, will also be marching in Sydney or Canberra. People demonstrating, protesting about the way women are treated in our society. And sadly, in Australia, the statistics are that there's so far this year, and we're only in April, there have been 25 women that have been killed through violence, domestic violence and so on. 25, that is, they said in this news article, one woman every 4 days has been killed. I mean, it's just shocking that women should be treated, that anybody, but women should be treated, they're singled out, you know, the weaker vessel, as we read of in the scriptures. But 25 people have died. Now, we don't want to dwell on things that are depressing, but that is the reality of our society. Now, we are a people that believe the Bible is the word of God, aren't we? And if that's the reality of our society, let's see how different the Word of God treats and advocates that women be treated, but also, we're not just going to talk about the natural things, but how we should be acting. So there'll be a bit of the natural, a bit of the spiritual here. So let's read of some attitudes here in the book of Mark, chapter 5, and verse 24, Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and by the way, if you just go back a couple of verses, In verse 22, "And behold, there comes one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, 'My little daughter lies at the point of death. I pray you, come and lay hands on her that she may be healed, and she shall live.'" Well, you can understand that. Anyway, and Jesus went with him, but on the way there, in verse 25, I've read that, in verse 26, "And had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard, Jesus came in the press behind him and touched his garment, for she said, 'If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole.'" If what we see in our society today of the way women are treated, and if the Bible is the word of God, and we believe that it is, then perhaps the way women are treated today by sadly so many, it's just an indication or a symptom of how far removed our society is from the word of God, how far people are removed from the word of the Lord. Anyway, in verse 29, this we've read of her faith. Verse 29, "And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, 'Who touched my clothes?' And his disciples said to him, 'You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, "Who touched me?" And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace and be whole of your plague.'" What an amazing victory this woman had. What an amazing faith this woman had. We see in the society that the attitude of some is that a woman should be put down and treated a little bit less than equal. But in actual fact, the Lord is looking at this woman and saying, "Look at her faith. What a remarkable faith that this woman has." Now, we know in reading in the Gospels here, these people weren't filled with the Holy Spirit, but nevertheless, as we do read through the Gospels, and as you turn to the chapter 12, we see that the attitudes here, the Lord is drawing our attention to the time when the Holy Ghost would be made available. Now, we read of in the Scriptures, as you're going to chapter 12, we do read in the Scriptures of well-known characters of faith, Abraham, Sarah, for instance, Elijah, Joshua, and the list goes on. There are plenty of miracle workers in the Scriptures whose names are not mentioned. There are thousands, millions of saints, no doubt, within the church. This woman that we've just read of in chapter 5, she wasn't named, but what was in fact emphasized or brought out was that her wonderful example of faith. And we need to see ourselves here as well. We need to keep on believing that God is a rewarder of our faithfulness. And her faithfulness is something that we want to emulate, isn't it? I'm just going to keep on pressing. I'm going to push through the crowd. I'm going to push through the bits and pieces of this natural life that are perhaps teaching me, telling me, persuading me to not trust in God. But I'm going, because I'm spirit-filled, I'm going to keep on trusting in God. In chapter 12 and verse 41, "And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much." Okay, so Jesus and his disciples were watching, and there came a certain poor widow, okay, or another lady, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called to him his disciples and said to them, "Verily I say to you that this poor widow has cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living." Now there's no indication from what we've read that this woman was aware of Jesus Christ watching. You know, she wasn't doing it to get some runs on the board. She was doing it because her desire was to God. And her attitude of wanting to contribute to God's work, if you like, then, her attitude of wanting to contribute was commended by Jesus Christ. Now, don't we see the example? Can't we apply the example of this good woman, this virtuous woman, this steadfast woman, this faithful woman? Can't we apply that to ourselves, and can't we put in what we can to the work of God, to the looking after of the saints, to the commitment to walking with the Lord until the day of his return? In chapter 14, and we read in verse 3, "And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper," Simon the leper, I hope I haven't got any black patches coming out on me. "Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she broke the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation." By the way, in one of the other Gospels, we read of this same woman with the box of ointment that she broke the box of spikenard on his head. "Take that, will you?" She broke it on his head so that the ointment would come out. Anyway, let's just read on a little bit. But it was a woman that was doing it. "And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, 'Why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor.' And they murmured against her." Judas was upset about this. He was critical of her. But Jesus Christ actually defended her actions. And Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why trouble you her? She has wrought a good work on me. For you have the poor with you always, and whensoever you will, you may do them good. But me you have not always. She has done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying." Now, Jesus Christ, I mean, it is odd behaviour at first glance. What are you breaking the box of ointment on his head for? Or what are you pouring it on his head for? He'll stink nicely. But why? But Jesus here, he draws our attention to his burying. And you see, the box of the ointment was broken so that the smell could come out. Now, Jesus Christ was broken, his body was broken, so that the good stuff could come, the Holy Ghost could come, and we are some of the privileged, happy recipients of the Holy Ghost, because the box was broken, because Jesus Christ was buried, and he rose from the dead, and the Holy Ghost came. But we see the attitude of the woman. She's the one that had the foresight to do it. She's the one that perhaps saw something in the future, grasped something there. We see her attitude. Go, she put God first. Go to the Old Testament, to 1 Kings, please, chapter 17, and we'll read a little bit about Elijah. Pastor Phil and Ali were also down at camp over the weekend and helping with the work, which was good. They're having a day off today, and that's fair enough that he have a day off. First Kings chapter 17, and we're reading of Elijah, and we're reading of drought, we're reading of devastation, we're reading of famine, we're reading of death. You know, how depressing. And in verse 8, and the word of the Lord came to him, that is to Elijah, saying, arise, get you to Zarephath, which belongs to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I've commanded a widow, another woman, there to sustain you. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks, and he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray you, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her, and by the way, and said, bring me, I pray you, a morsel of bread in your hand. And she said, as the Lord your God lives, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. I mean, it sounds miserable, doesn't it? A desperate situation for her to be in. But we're not immune. We're people. We're living in this world. We get involved, or situations overtake us at times, don't they? Where the situation seems desperate. Which way do I go? Maybe you're in tears at night or something. Maybe you're just despairing over something or other because it's difficult. There's a shut door everywhere you turn, it seems. We're not unfamiliar with feelings of helplessness. We might think that the circumstances are beyond me, we might think. And so we've just read what Elijah had said to her, and we've read of her response. In verse 13, and Elijah said to her, fear not, go and do as you said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it to me, and after make for you and for your son. This is a reversal of common sense. You know, you could understand the woman saying, well, tough luck, mate. I'm looking after me and my boy. You can understand that, can't we? But she didn't do that. In verse 14, for thus says the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth. So a little bit of faith, a little bit, it will endure. And we see in verse 15, and she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. And again, an example of this woman's faith and her obedience to the word of God from Elijah. And it's an example for us. No matter how dire our situations, God will reward the faithfulness of us. We're individuals. We're spirit-filled. God knows what we go through, doesn't he? He knows we're weak. The Bible says that in one of the Psalms, the Lord pities us because we are but flesh. When we first receive the Holy Spirit, we come to the Lord with nothing, and all we can offer is a good attitude. We can offer him our lives. If we are prepared to serve the Lord, to learn to walk in the Spirit, we're never going to want again. The Lord will look after us. You know, the natural life at times, well, it is a spiritual wilderness. But if we dedicate our lives to God, we're going to have abundance. We're going to have the peace that passes all understanding within ourselves, aren't we? Perhaps you don't even need me to remind you, but the oil that we're talking about here, well, it is representative of the Holy Ghost, we read later in the scriptures. the more we use the Holy Ghost, the more we seem to have. We're strengthened by it. We build up our most holy faith praying in the Holy Ghost. Back into the New Testament, to the book of Acts in chapter 21, please. Brian, where are you? Brian, what time does the talk nearly finish? Oh, that long. Okay. Well, I don't know that I'll need quite that long. But anyway, I just see a number of people falling asleep, so it's not the time, but it's the speaker, really, isn't it, eh? Go on, say it. So you're going to the book of Acts in chapter 21. You know, it impresses me at times as I look around in the fellowship. We are all such a different, we're different individuals from one another, aren't we? We've got different backgrounds, different standards, different educations and so on, but we are hopefully wonderfully unified by the Holy Ghost within us. You know, we might not have anything in common in the natural sense, but we're here because we're spirit-filled and we believe we're doing what the Lord wants. We're waiting particularly for the day when he comes back. I'm talking about noble and faithful women in the scriptures. In the book of Acts in chapter 21, we read in verse 8, "And the next day we that were of Paul's company departed and came into Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. And the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy." And so he had four daughters, the girls in the Lord. They obviously kept themselves pure and were used by God in the things of the Spirit. Now, here's another example of these four women. We want to keep ourselves pure, don't we? Now that we are spirit-filled, now that we've learning to walk in the Lord or walking with the Lord, we want to keep ourselves pure from the attitudes that we see perpetuated in this society that people are demonstrating against today, for instance. We want to keep ourselves untainted from religious ideas. We want to stick to the truth, what God has said, that you must be born again to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And once you're born again, I mean, getting filled with the Holy Spirit is simple, isn't it? It happens instantly and miraculously, but what we all need to do is learn to walk in the Spirit and keep on walking in the Spirit. And some people have been walking in the Spirit for a long, long time. Kim, in her testimony, said, "I've been filled with the Holy Spirit for 35 years, which is half of my life," which means that she's actually 70. I'm surprised to hear you say that, Kim. I thought you would have turned 70 years ago. Anyway, so we see these things, and we want then our behaviour to be one, our speech with each other and to the unsaved at large. We want to be of an attitude where God can use us. We don't want to be contentious, certainly not with one another. We don't want to be contentious with people outside particularly, but we want to get across the word of God, surely. We want to see the attitude of the women that we've just read about. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, have a look there. And we see what Paul says to Timothy. Timothy was Paul's protege. He sort of brought him up in the Lord and was teaching him things, and he sent him eventually to go and appoint pastors and bits and pieces and to hold up the standard. And we see in chapter 1 of 2 Timothy, he says in verse 5, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois, and your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that in you also. So I don't know how many years Timothy had been Spirit-filled or what age he was when he got Spirit-filled, but we do see his grandmother Lois and Eunice named, and they're commended for their faithfulness. They were obviously faithful for quite some time, grandmother and Lois and Eunice, faithful for quite some time. They were sincere. Maybe they were stalwarts in the fellowship, but they'd been around a while. It was commendable behaviour that these women had, and we should be consistent as well. As we are getting older, we bring up our children in the ways of the Lord, and joyfully now one of our granddaughters is filled with the Holy Spirit, and our children who are adult are bringing up their children in the ways of the Lord, and this is how it should be. We see this attitude of continuity of walking with the Lord, not getting sick of it after a few days or a couple of years and saying, oh, well, that doesn't work. I'm disappointed. I've had a mishap, so I'm throwing it all to the wind. Sometimes people do say that, though. You don't wish it, but they do. Have a look in the book of Proverbs, chapter 31, please. Now, it seems that we're reading here in Proverbs 31, possibly we're talking about a literal woman, the qualities of a literal woman, an astounding woman if she has all these qualities, but it's probably more important to see the church, because you see the Bible talks about as Jesus Christ the bridegroom, and the church, the body of people that are Spirit-filled, that is the bride. They are the woman. We make up part of the bride. Thank goodness for that. In Proverbs chapter 31, and where shall I start? Well, I might read a little bit of this one, this chapter. In verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? I mean, we can also think of our own wives. If we're men, if we're married, we can think of our own wives. Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? The heart of her husband. But as we're thinking of it, don't only just think of me and my husband, or me and my wife. Let's also see that, oh yes, I'm included in this woman. I'm included in the church because I've been baptized into it by the Spirit. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her. God trusts us to be loyal to him and faithful to his word, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships, she bringing her food from afar. She rises also while it is yet night and gives meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it with the fruit of her hands, and she plants a vineyard. And so the church, the way the Lord has made the church, by filling us with the Holy Spirit, bringing us into a body, we are a people then that have different abilities, but we're looking outwards, aren't we, to the unsaved people of this world. We're encouraging them to come in, to get their lives right with God, to be born again of the Spirit, and to learn to walk in the Spirit until the day of the Lord comes back. Because we've been given a purpose. We've been commissioned now to do something else. We're no longer just farmers. We're no longer just, what other professions are here? We're no longer just bricklayers, albeit retired. We're no longer well, actually, everybody's retired. Nobody, we're no longer just school teachers. Nina, do you have a profession? You're a teacher. Good. That's it. That's it. You know, we're no longer just teachers. There are lots of teachers in here. But it doesn't matter. That's not our main purpose. God's calling is to be part of the bride. God's calling is to be part of this virtuous woman serving the Lord. In verse 20, she stretches out her hands to the poor, yea, he reaches forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes fine linen and sells it and delivers girdles to the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she will rejoice in time to come. You know, a lot of imagery is used here to describe this woman, the church. And there is no doubt that the body of people filled with the Holy Spirit, it is a refuge for people to come to. And I'm just thinking of the three people that have recently come to the Lord. One gentleman has actually been filled with the Holy Spirit for 10 years or so, but he'd been wandering around out in the wilderness and his life was a mess. And when he came in, I said, well, you've got to stop using drugs. You can't do that. That's not what the Lord wants. And you've got to start treating your wife actually nicely. You can't have that sort of attitude with her. And wonderfully, his life is coming together. And his wife is happy to be Spirit-filled and happy to be with him. Amazing, isn't it, when you follow God's word? And in verse 27, she looks well to the ways of her household and eats not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but you excel them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. And so we as a body of people, we're not worried too much of the outward appearance, are we, as far as do we have numbers, do we have a big meeting hall, or do we, you know, we just hire a meeting hall. But we've got a fear of the Lord, don't we? We realize we need to be faithful to him, to walk in the Spirit and to do his work. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. And so we as a body of people and we as individuals, we possess a strength, don't we, of character. We're able to walk through hard times like the woman of Zarephath. Can we see ourselves in these loyal women? Is the faithfulness, is the ambassadorship, is the uniqueness, is the strength of character, is the hope and the trust in God, are they all evident in our lives as some of God's people? And I'll finish then in the New Testament in the book of Ephesians in chapter 5. And what a contrast there is, what we have read from the Bible this morning to what we see in our society and being demonstrated against today. The attitude towards women that is being criticised, it's being focused upon. And yet we see God, we're reading of God's attitude towards women that we need to be well and truly aware of. And sadly, our society, the unspirit-filled, to one extent or another, they don't see these godly principles that we should observe, but we're spirit-filled. We're not like that. We do see them. We want to learn from them. We want to be guided. We want to be inspired. We want to be corrected, don't we? And we read in Ephesians chapter 5 where Paul is speaking to the Spirit-filled, and he says in verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Saviour of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And so I'm talking about noble and faithful women of the Bible. And we see here where the Lord is actually referring to men and women, but he's delineating the role of the husbands and the wives, but he's actually pointing out to us, well, you husbands, have a look. Look what Jesus Christ did to save his wife, the bride, the people filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ sacrificed himself first so that we, the bride, could learn to love the Lord. And we see that, don't we? And we do love the Lord. The Bible says that while we didn't know God, while we were his enemies, Christ died for us. And he's saying, well, you husbands, do the same. In verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loves his wife loves himself. And so we see here the sort of Paul is in his conversation, he's dipping into the natural aspect and then the spiritual aspect, and he's comparing the two. And we see the attitude that the wives need to have to their husbands and that the husbands need to have towards their wives. And if we all are prepared to follow the scriptural pattern, we're going to be blessed. And we will, as individuals, but also collectively, we are going to be named, or we are already named, but we're going to continue as being the noble, or as a noble and a faithful woman of the scriptures. And all the people said. All right, well, we'll leave it there. Thank you.